I remember when I was around 7 years old, and I had a close friend named Damien, and I had a hamster named Bubbles. And Bubbles needed a new cage with a, you know, little trail and the little wheel that spun around and all of the fun little attachments that you can add on to it. And so we had gotten that, and Damien was over at my house, and we were putting it together. And those things can be a little complicated, especially for a seven-year-old. And we were arguing about how it should be put together. Did this piece go here? Did it go there? And we got so upset that Damien picked up the top of the cage. It was a, you know, the metal top that, you know, folds down once you put it on the top. Those with hamster cages know what I'm talking about. It wasn't attached yet. And he picked it up and he smacked me over the head with it. And I got so angry that I hopped up and started chasing him. And he started running because even though he had continued to grab onto the metal thing, I was big back then, as I am now, and quite a bit bigger than he was. And so we ran around the outside, we ran around the house, and my father was pretty confused, and he finally managed to get a hold of the both of us and said, "What are you doing? Damien, give me that." And Damien was like, "No." And my father's like, "Why won't you give that to me?" And he said, "Because if I do, Brian will hit me." It was quite a interesting bit of violence begets violence. Our tempers had flared up. He had struck out against me, therefore I was angry at him, and he used violence back at me as a way to protect himself. Now, our story from Acts is a wonderful, wonderful accounting of Paul's conversion. You all heard Saul, of course, and many of you probably know that that was Paul's name prior to his conversion. Sometime later, he takes the name Paul. Paul, of course, is probably the second most important person in all of Christianity, second only to Jesus. He started many churches. His theology was fundamental for the early church. And without him, the church certainly wouldn't have spread as fast as it did in the first centuries. Paul wasn't always a follower of Christ. In fact, he was severely against Christ to begin with. Paul was arrogant. He was arrogant prior to his conversion. He was arrogant after his conversion. God didn't really change that. Jesus didn't change that aspect of him. But he was the perfect Jew that was orthodox and held on to everything that was deemed to be right. And if you varied even a little from what Paul thought was right, then you were going to pay the price. He was going to come and he was going to persecute you. And he did so with zeal. He was so happy to go around persecuting people. And Paul says this himself, so this is not something that is made up. This is not something that's fabricated after his death to make his life more interesting. And so, in the very act of persecuting the Christians, those Jews that had decided to follow Jesus, had decided to vary a little bit from what he thought was important. In that act, Jesus came, and on that road to Damascus, Jesus blinded Paul with a great light. Not only that, he really changed Paul. He changed him and showed him that what he was doing wasn't right. And Paul, who was now blinded, couldn't see, was led to Damascus. And there was a disciple of Christ. And That disciple was talked to by God and told to go to Paul and heal Paul. And it's interesting because, you know, if we follow how this story goes, we've got somebody that wants to harm, somebody that wants to do violence, and God changes that person's heart. And we have somebody that's fearful of violence, Ananias. God says to Ananias, I want you to go to Paul. And Paul says, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, maybe you haven't heard what I've heard down here, but he's not too friendly to people like me last time I checked. Are you sure? And God says, yes. So we have Ananias, who's fearful of that persecution, of that very same violence. And this is when Paul is really converted. This is when Paul, according to Acts, really adopts the faith of the church, is when he gets this vision by God that he will be healed. His blindness will be taken away by this follower of Christ, and Ananias comes in and does just that. And Paul is healed, and Paul realizes that he needs to follow Jesus Christ. You see, at the end, the very person he was persecuting came to him with love and healed him and changed him. This story says a lot about persecution, about violence, about anger. The funny thing with Damien is that he was running around with a weapon, running around fearful of what I would do to him, threatening me with further violence. And yet, had he just stopped, had he stopped and said, I'm really sorry for what I did, that would have ended it. Had he turned to a different path, a path of kindness, the conflict would have ended right there and then. I'm pretty sure I would have forgiven him. I'm pretty sure I would have at least given him a couple of seconds to explain himself. And of course, that's a simple childhood story, but that's true in our life. There are plenty of circumstances in which we are persecuting somebody else, being persecuted ourselves, being against somebody, being angry with somebody. And the only thing that really seems to break that is a bit of forgiveness, a bit of kindness, a bit of being like Paul eventually was. You see, God didn't call Paul to be on the Jesus team and persecute those that were against Jesus. It's not as God just gave Paul new marching orders and the same sort of ideas he had before. No. Christ said to Paul, you now will go to those that are persecuted. You will help people. You will teach people about love and kindness and forgiveness. You will feed my sheep and care for my sheep. These ideas that we get from our Gospel of John reading. It's such an interesting end to the Gospel of John. When Jesus calls the disciples at first, it's at a lake. They are fishing. Jesus tells them what to do. They catch more fish than they can hold. And at the very end, we get the same story repeated. They're out there fishing, not quite sure what to do. Heck, Peter's naked. They don't say that in some translations, but it's true. And he doesn't bother to put clothes on until he realizes it's Jesus. And they're out there fishing, and this same thing happens. This miracle happens where they get these fish, and they say, could it be? Could it be? Yes, it is. It's Jesus Christ come back from the dead, and he shares a meal with him. That's what Jesus was always doing, sharing meals. That's a good thing to emulate. I think we do it pretty well here at the church. And Jesus says, you know, do you love me, Peter? Oh, of course I do. Well, do this. Do you love me? And I love that last part where he says it a third time. Peter starts to get upset. Well, why are you asking me so much if I love you? Of course I love you. You know that. But Peter doesn't realize that Jesus is trying to drive home a point. That's not about Peter's love. It's about what Peter should be doing. It's about how Peter needs to feed his sheep, care for his sheep, care for all those out there that need it. I find it interesting that when Jesus comes back in the Gospel of John and gives the very last, this is the very last thing he tells the disciples before the end of the Gospel, that the very most important thing, the thing that he repeats three times, the exact number of times Peter denied Christ, the thing that he wants to point out is not, I want you to be morally perfect, or I want you to preach at those who you think are wrong and let them know how wrong they are, or that I want you to go out and convert everybody you can, or I want you to go and build great temples to me that are big and shiny and bright to show how much you love me. Oh, it's none of these things. A thing he really wants to drive home is you need to care for those around you. You need to care for the flock that has already come, and the flock that has yet to come. You need to care for them and feed them. That's your job. Don't worry about anything else. And I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes people go off on tangents. They almost become like Paul was when he was Saul, so interested in who is varied just a bit from what we think is right or wrong. You look at somebody like Jimmy Swaggart, who was very much taken with the Lord and yet said things like, if I knew a gay person, I would kill him and say it was an accident. You have people like Jerry Falwell, who said, people with AIDS deserve it. That's God's punishment. You have people like Fred Phelps, who's been going around celebrating the death of our military because he thinks it's some sort of righteous retribution from God for what we're doing wrong in our country. These people, I think, could stand to share a meal with Jesus. These people could stand to be asked the question, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do not worry about what might be a little bit right or wrong in your eyes, but just care for people. You know, Billy Graham, I have to admit, I haven't always agreed with some of Billy Graham's theological statements or views. I don't know if he and I would necessarily go to the same church, but I love him. I know we'd share a meal together. I know that we would have a good time talking about Jesus, because Billy Graham was always one of those people that rarely had a negative thing to say about anybody. Even if he agreed or disagreed, no matter who was president, no matter what, he was there to offer kindness and advice. And there are countless other people like him. You see, it's not about whether we agree or disagree. It's not about who wins in the end. It's about how we care for one another. It's about being able to treat somebody like a human being, like somebody you love, even if you disagree with them, even if you get into an argument with them, even if you can't agree on how to assemble the hamster box. We can't pick up weapons and hurt each other when that's the case. We can't persecute one another. We have to love one another. We have to care for one another. We have to feed each other. This is what Jesus reminds us of. This is what Jesus calls us to do, whether we are on the road to Damascus or the road to the Green Mall. It doesn't matter. Jesus is always there, making us new, making us aware of his mission for us. Amen.